Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 1, Tottenham 0. Chelsea beat Tottenham everywhere they go. We've done it again. Back up to fourth in the Premier League. Another clean sheet. Another win. Back in business for the top four for the Champions League. We're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about a few other things Chelsea related as well. Some things that come up in the international break. Hopefully we're going to be joined by Louis at some point. He's at the game, so hopefully we'll get his views. Rambles will be here as well eventually, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. And yeah, if you want to have your views shared and want to talk about the game or want to talk about anything else Chelsea related, please do request and join us. And we're gonna get going. And Rambles is here.
Evening, guys. Hope you're all well.
How you doing, Rambles?
Not bad at all, thanks. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm quite happy about that win. Enzo Fernandez with a really good goal from Cole Palmer assist as well. His first goal contribution for quite a while. And I've seen the replay and it's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant goal. Great play from Chelsea. And we got the 3 points. So just Rambles, what are your initial thoughts on the game?
I think like with a lot of games, when the final whistle goes, it's just pure relief because it should have been more than a 1-0 scoreline, but we never make games easy for ourselves. We always feel like we should have a 2-3-0 lead, but then in the end, you're kind of hanging on. And then you get nervous. And then once the final whistle goes, it's just pure relief.
Yeah, because there was a lot of added on time, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was 12 minutes.
12 minutes, you know, I mean... I didn't catch all of the second half, but was that deserved or was it excessive?
Yeah, there were quite a lot of stoppages. I mean, obviously, all this VAR stuff, you know, it's just absolutely shambolic, I think.
Yeah, I mean, both sides had a goal ruled out by VAR. Chelsea got another clean sheet, though. I mean, that's a positive. I think that's our second 1-0 win. Quite home in the last three home games, I think.
Yeah, another clean sheet's absolutely massive for us.
Yeah, we're doing. Sanchez is actually delivering clean sheets. You know,
it just feels like, you know, small building blocks, and obviously we've got key players back from injury now, so hopefully we can kind of kick on from this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about strikers later, but how do you think Nicholas Jackson did today?
I think it was obviously a bit rusty because he hasn't played for a few months, but you could see the difference he made though. He's a constant threat. We just look such a more dangerous team when he's playing as opposed to Nkunku playing as a false nine. I think he's far more of a threat for defenders. And I think once he's kind of got up to speed, you know, you'll see a huge difference in our play. Because Nkunku just offered absolutely nothing. You know, for a start, he doesn't want to be here. And a false nine is not his position. And I think even when Jackson's not scoring goals, he makes things happen. You know, he's a nightmare for defenders. He's the kind of striker defenders would hate playing against.
And how did he miss any really, like, big chances tonight?
I mean, he could have scored one in the first half, but I don't think he missed any. You know, he didn't miss any ridiculously easy chances. But I think a player coming back after a couple of months out, you know, I think you need to expect it might take a couple of games for him to get back up to speed again.
Yeah, and how was Cole Palmer?
I thought he was actually much better tonight, Cole Palmer. It was one of his best performances for a while. He looked more dangerous. And I think the break probably did him the world of good because he probably was playing through a little niggle. And I think, you know, just a couple of weeks away, I think he spent some time in Dubai. You know, he's come back, he's a bit more refreshed. He's obviously got over his injury woe. And yeah. And I think that assist will do his confidence the world of good because pressure was starting to build a little bit. Oh, he's been X amount of games without goal or assist. Yeah. And I just think now he's got the monkey off his back now and now he can kick on for the...
Yeah.
For final home straight.
Okay, Rambles. Yeah, thanks. I mean, we'll come back to you in a minute with your rant or rave, so get ready for that. But Louis is here. Louis was at the game, so we're going to get the match-going fans' view here. This is going to be really interesting. It's always interesting to get the perspective of somebody who's actually at the game. So, Louis, how was the game?
Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. Did you know that?
Yes, we kind of said that already, but yeah, it's good to say it again.
It's just to reinforce, you know, I think it's really important that we discuss the nuances of that. But look, overall, solid performance by Chelsea. I don't look past the fact that we're beating Spurs, to be honest. It's kind of very much where my head goes and games out there. However, having said that, I did get slightly disappointed with the first half. I do think that a lot of fans around sort of were very annoyed, if I'm very honest. You know, there was a lot of sideways passing again, a lot of not really sort of pushing forward and pushing on. But second half started to like, change towards the end. You think that there were more long balls being played, we were more aggressive. And I do think that obviously became a massive benefit at the beginning of the second half when Enzo Fernandez puts a header in the back of that, who, by the way, he was a monster today. Excellent play by him. I think that everything he offered was second to none. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he, you know, went for everything he needed to. He played the ball simply. If he needed to play along the ball, he needed to. It was just a great, great result in terms of how he operated as well. And overall, yeah, very, very happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Enzo Fernandez in the when he came off. He was kind of singing along with the "We Beat Spurs Everywhere We Go" song. I think like he was getting right into it.
Yeah.
But, fantastic. And I think we're going to talk about Enzo Fernandez a bit more, aren't we, Rambles?
I mean, he's definitely good. But sorry, before you finish, I haven't given you my personal highlight of the game.
Oh, go ahead.
So when Mickey van der Ven got absolutely bodied at the end of the second half, right, before he came off.
Right.
As he gets booked and is walking off the pitch, I obviously sit right in front of the disabled section in the Matthew Harding, it's right in front of me with the East Stand, right?
Yeah.
I've seen a man in a wheelchair who will ever be a legend for me roll out right to the sideboard in front of Mickey van der Ven, shout at him and give him the V's. It's the best thing I've ever seen. And I don't think it will ever be topped. It was fucking spectacular.
It's always great being Spurs, isn't it? It's always such a good feeling to beat them. It, no matter how many times you beat them, it never gets old. It never gets old beating Spurs. So, love it.
Nope, never.
Love it. And, right, Rambles, you've got your rant or rave, and I think it's a rave today, isn't it?
It's a rave about Enzo Fernandez, the match winner.
So how did he...
I think this season he's just been so improved and I still can't get my head around all the abuse he gets. I mean, I think in the league, I think I saw a stat, he got 5 goals and 5 assists and he was brilliant on the international break for Argentina against Brazil. And his all round games just improved massively. You know, I think he's really taken the leadership role and I would say he's possibly even a better long-term leader than Reece James. I love his passion. He's getting into the box more. You know, I think in the first half, we were seeing him go at Jadon Sancho, telling him to shoot. So I think he is taking more of a leadership role across the team, and he's just becoming the player we thought we signed.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, he's been actually one of the unsung heroes this season for me. I've always been a fan of Enzo Fernandez. You're right about the stats. In the Premier League this season, he's played 28 matches, 5 goals and 5 assists. So 10 goal contributions from midfield in the Premier League. So absolutely.
And I think if he had a more prolific attacking player, he could probably even be in double figures. I think I read he's created the most chances out of any Premier League midfielder this season.
Oh yes, I saw that stat as well. Yeah, that's a, yeah, I saw that. That was interesting. Like he's been a lot better than people think he has, I think. And he's definitely growing into that leadership role, which we need. We need more leaders in the squad. You know, I think he's definitely growing into that. And, he's playing a really important part for Chelsea this season. His overall performance this season in all competitions, he's played 36 games, scored 6 goals and got 9 assists. You know, so that's pretty good for 36.
Yeah, good numbers.
Yeah, definitely it's his best season, I think, for Chelsea. in terms of goal contributions, certainly. And I just think for consistency as well, because he wasn't at his best last season, that's for sure. So to see him, you know, and he was also written off by a lot of fans, you know, which to be fair, like he hadn't been that great. So people were, you know, frustrated with him, and that's totally understandable. I always thought the talent was there, and we're seeing it. And you can tell he really wants to get into the Champions League with Chelsea, and he's absolutely determined to make it happen. And it was a good goal today. Really good goal. Great run. The run made it, really, because Cole Palmer couldn't have crossed if he wasn't there. You know, he has to make the run, and then he gets it, then he finishes it off. And yeah, really, really pleased for him. And yeah, and it's a big goal, because it wins you the game, and it's a big game because it's Spurs. So yeah, fair play to Enzo Fernandez for sure. I know you already mentioned Enzo Fernandez a little bit, Louis, but just expand on that a bit more, like how well you thought he's been.
I think he's really improved. I think today he's really improved. I think we have seen improvements in places, right? But I do think, as much as I want to beat the drum as much as everyone else here and talk about how great he's been, but also we have to remember that there has been quite a lot of inconsistency, not just with him, but throughout this whole squad. For me, those sort of performances which he put on today, look, I'm not like, if he could put in that level every single week, I'm not going to be against it. I think that's spectacular if he could do that, right? But realistically, that isn't feasible. But if we can get something close to today, I think that was, I'd argue, aside from that first sort of 3 months of his tenure where he arrived in that January in 2023, where he just completely changed the team, I think that was probably up there as his best performance in a Chelsea shirt. So for me, if he can deliver something similar and continue to build on that and use that form, I'll be very, very happy. But the numbers are pretty solid. That's something which we can always use. But as I always say, numbers are great for colouring in. They're not great for the full picture. So as long as he continues to build on that, I'll be a very happy man.
Fantastic. Yeah, I just shared some stats from the game. I'll just go through them. 89 minutes played, one goal, 61 touches, 41 to 45 passes completed, one shot on target, one shot off target, 3 out of 7 ground duels won, one interception and one tackle. That was his numbers today. And I think he's also become the third Chelsea midfielder to score home and away to Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League in one season, after Roberto Di Matteo and Gus Poyet. So, in illustrious company. And they were both in the same season as well, the Di Matteo and Poyet stats. So that was 25 years ago, 26 years ago, gosh. When you get the winning goal in the game, it's a very, very important thing, because it's, you know, it doesn't matter how you win at this stage of the season. It just matters that you win. 1-0, I'll take that every day of the week at this point in the season. If we win all the rest of our games 1-0, I'm fine with that. Because it means we'll be getting Champions League football. You know, we'll probably finish higher in the table. So, and we're fourth, by the way, everyone. We're fourth. We're back and forth again. We've got Brentford at the weekend, which is going to be a tough game. But we're in a good position at the moment. So, yeah, Enzo Fernandez, well done to him. A leader, really great performer for us. And fantastic, fantastic stuff. And Louis, what any other players stand out for you today?
I guess we could talk about Robert Sanchez with mixed bag. Because I think without him making that big save at the end, he was somebody I think you could credit to purely for that. However, he got saved by a VAR howler, from a howler. So, I mean, there is that. But in terms of positively standing out for me, I mean, again, we've already mentioned Nicholas Jackson. He looked a bit rusty, but you could see why Chelsea miss him quite a lot. As you already mentioned, Moises Caicedo getting that goal ruled out. And by the way, Tim Sadie and clearly what the start he looked like he was really carrying a bit of a niggle of the initial challenge, and then getting tackled in a terrible way again and still remaining on the pitch for a short period. I mean, real fighting spirit, I think, was credit to him for that. Look, for me, it was very much a case of job done. Aside from Caicedo, and I mean, I'm going to sound incredibly harsh here, but that's just, you know, how I'm viewing Chelsea at the minute. It was a decent performance, but, you know, I still feel like when you've got players, if you're watching the first half, I thought Nicholas Jackson was making runs in behind a Spurs high line, which has been targeted so many times by teams. And we can see, continue to make these really boring, tedious sideways passes, or we put our foot on the ball and allow Spurs to get back in shape. When realistically, if you think about how Chelsea really, you know, need to be picking up results. And yes, I agree with you, by the way, that winning 1-0 is great. It's getting the job done.
But there's a real opportunity there to go for the jugular, to really go for Spurs, because they're
on their arse at the minute, if we're being very frank, you know. That was obviously a team which has been fielded with clearly K-tape, paracetamol, and as many injections as possible because of their injury crisis. Or they just come back and they just weren't quite ready. I feel like Chelsea, as much as he wants to be playing a certain style of football, and I appreciate that, I want to see Chelsea up to the jugular in these games. I do feel there was a lot of opportunities to really try and seize it.
But, you know, that's just me probably being incredibly harsh.
Yeah, I mean, we had 11 shots, had 5 on target today. And it was pretty even possession, 50.2% for Chelsea and 49.8% for Spurs. Spurs only had 2 shots on target. I mean, we're not playing at our best at the moment. I think everyone knows that. For me, like, as long as we're getting results, I'm not too bothered how we play, but obviously we've got to start playing well soon, because we've got some big games. We're going to have to play well. But, you know, grinding out the results, I don't mind that at the moment until we get our confidence back. And, you know, you keep winning, it becomes a habit. And clean sheets as well becoming a habit. Like, that's a good thing as well. Like, I think we because we were complaining that we never had a clean sheet for ages. I think earlier in the season, we were months without a clean sheet. Even when we were winning, we weren't keeping clean sheets. So to keep, you know, I think it's 3 clean sheets now in the last few games, you know, is good. It's positive. So, yeah, I think Southampton, Spurs, and one other game that we've had at home where we've kept a clean sheet. So, good stuff. Good stuff. So, yeah. And Maresca will be happy. And he was very, very happy at the final whistle. So that's very positive too. So
it tends to happen when you've dyed your beard as well, just to give you that little bit of a self-esteem boost.
Indeed. I don't know how you dye a beard, honestly, but yeah. Yes, that's right. So, okay, just before we get onto the next topic, just want to plug Chelsea Echo Twitter. Loads of great content on there. It's a great account. We all contribute to it. There's great content there. That's where this show comes from. We're all part of Chelsea Echo. So give that a follow on Twitter. Now we're going to get to, a topic which is kind of relevant today. And I think is relevant for the next few months as well, which is the striker situation. Now, Matt Law yesterday said that he wouldn't be surprised if Nicholas Jackson was sold this summer, right? And there has been talk from various sources of Chelsea signing 2 strikers this summer, not just 1. So, and the names that Matt Law was linking with us were Leon Delap, Victor Osimhen, and Benjamin Sesko. I think we've also been linked with Victor Gyökeres as well. The question I really wanted to ask is, like, say, just for example, this is a hypothetical situation. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying that I even believe it could happen. I'm just putting it out there as a hypothetical. Say Chelsea signed Victor Gyökeres and Leon Delap, right? Would you be happy if we sold Nicholas Jackson? Or do you think that Nicholas Jackson needs to be part of the needs to be part of the team or the squad. And that he's, because he's obviously had a decent season, not, you know, he's tailed off a bit in the second half of the season, but he's still a good player. And obviously he made a difference. We were talking about a difference he made tonight. So, I mean, would you sell Nicholas Jackson in return for two strikers coming in? If one of them was like an Osimhen or a Guy Caress, or would you keep him? And why?
Personally, I would still keep Jackson. I just think he offers so much. Even when he's not scoring, he's making an impact on games. And I just like his attitude. I still think he gets a rough deal from a lot of fans.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, I like Nicholas Jackson. I think he's still only 22 as well. He's going to get better. He's had to carry the Chelsea attack on his own, pretty much. He's had no support, really. We haven't had a real competition for that place, not really, ever since he's been here. And so, obviously, he got a bit burnt out. We all saw that. And then he got injured because there was no competition and he was having to play every game, pretty much. And yeah, I think if you had proper competition for him, you know, someone who could really go in there and score goals, and you knew that was really going to make him fight for that position, then with the number of games we play, he's still getting enough games, and you could even play with a striker. You could play as a kind of second striker, like a Nelka, or even on the wing. He's very much like a Nelka in terms of his style of play. Yeah, so I would rather keep him, to be honest. I think he's one of the signings that's kind of come off, considering what we paid 30 million for him. I think if we sold him, we get a lot more than that now. I would definitely keep him because of all the reasons you said. I want to hear someone else argue that we should sell him. So if you think we should sell him, request, come up, we'll get you up here and we'll hear your views.
I also think we need to be careful because I can see some people getting excited. Oh yeah, well, we're going to sell Jackson and bring in two strikers. But then, you know, if you bring Jokeres over to the league, there's always the risk, you know, he may not adapt to the Premier League. Then you're bringing in Delap, who may need time because he's moving to a bigger club. And then you've got rid of a guy who knows the club and is actually doing well. So, you know, it could really backfire getting rid of Jackson and bringing in two new strikers to the club.
I absolutely agree. Like, don't, yeah, the grass isn't always greener. You know, we do need to bring in a striker this summer, 100%. But I would not be selling Jackson. But Louis, what are your thoughts on Nicholas Jackson and on the striker?
No, I agree with you. I think, I mean, I wouldn't like him to a Nelka. I think it's maybe reaching a little bit.
In terms of the profile of the player.
No, I know. But that's where I thought. I wouldn't say he's like a Nelka. I think he's more like a Salah and Kalou. I see him as like that player who maybe isn't going to be someone who's going to, you know, rip the world apart and be this, you know, massive, massive presence for Chelsea. But I see him as somebody who, with the Swiss Army knife mentality that Maresca wants to implement, can play on that left-hand side, can play down the middle. As you said, maybe even play in a two if he really, really needs to push that. Now, I do think that is an opportunity which, realistically, I think maybe Chelsea are missing out on if they don't really try and take advantage of that. I do think if you sold him as well, like you said, the grass isn't always greener. And realistically, Liam Delap is going to be a player as well. That feels very much like a Haaland to City deal. Like that is like, okay, that is going to happen.
I think you're right with that. I think. Liam Delap would be a Chelsea player, 100%.
Should Liam Delap arrive at Chelsea, you then got a player there that's looking to develop. If you're looking to develop that player, you need to have someone seen to come alongside him. In terms of that seniority, who do you look at and go, that's the man who's going to make the difference? Now, there used to be someone we'd bring up who banged on about Victor Osimhen every single week, the point where we had to literally ban him because he just never spoke about anything else. And it was incredibly tedious. Now, for me, Victor Osimhen isn't that guy. If he didn't want to sign there in the summer, what's the difference? People can talk about his agent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. End of the day, it was also him who was arguing and not putting pen to paper. Has been told it's going to be set out as, you know, if they don't want to carry the bricks, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, that narrows your net a lot more. But then you're not only just looking at Liam Delap. You're looking at Victor Gyökeres. But there are a lot of other clubs that are in for Victor Gyökeres. I personally think Arsenal are the front runners, which is worrying, because I do feel that they are a club which are going to be getting better deals done, especially with her and the sporting director they have.
Indeed.
I think that's going to be an issue, especially because I do think that they're going to be a lot sharper and have their button on the trigger far more than Chelsea do. And if not, Chelsea are going to end up spending more money. So that's a problem. So realistically, the net is getting smaller. And the amount of quality within European football is diminishing in terms of a proper centre forward. So basically, we could talk about potentially selling Nicholas Jackson, but it should only even be considered when the options are in. I look at him, to be honest, as a left winger. If we were to sign two strikers, he's a winger. And I think he's a better winger than Jadon Sancho on the left-hand side. I think he's probably going to end up replacing Mikhailo Mudryk on the left-hand side, because he still exists, remember, for a very brief period. So, I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer on that side of the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I can see him definitely linking up with a proper nine. You know, if you played a proper nine, putting Nicholas Jackson on the inside left or on the left, whatever. You know, he already has the link up with Cole Palmer, which you saw again tonight. I think, I managed to grab over the game, you could see that link up was there again. And yeah, I mean, absolutely. And his work ethic is good, and he wants to succeed. He works hard. You know, he doesn't give up. I think he's not a lazy player by any means. His pressing is really good. I think there's no case to sell him. I don't think it would be a wise move. And yeah, I mean, if you put him next to a proper nine who can score goals, you can link up with him as well. And then you've got Cole Palmer, Nicholas Jackson, and that number nine, you can all score goals, right? And of course, you've got Estevao Willian coming in on the right, and Noni Madueke as well, who scores goals. So you'd have a bit more of a goal threat. So yeah, absolutely. Really, we all agree on this. So there's no one who thinks we should sell him. Teams, I'd love to get teams up here, because I know she has very strong views on Nicholas Jackson. It would be great if we could get her up. But she's not here at the moment. But we'll see.
Maybe we'll finally sign Hulk. I think he might be a free agent, is he?
Who? Hulk?
Bloody Hulk. Oh, my God. Hulk. What a shout.
Hulk. Yes,
I just said it. Just unbelievable. What a player he was. To be fair.
We used to get linked with him every single year.
Every year.
And he's still playing.
I think he's at Flamengo now, isn't he?
He's like in his late 30s, I think, now.
He is. To be fair, we did, when we were really bored in the first half, we're talking about throwbacks. We obviously, as I don't know if you guys have seen on Twitter, when me and my mates that sit around me, we get bored and we start doing like World Cup tournaments, like set of 16, where we just pick a random topic. And this week we were doing Bald Barclaysman, and that was a lot of fun. So we like doing a lot of throwbacks. So here in Hulk, he's just absolutely spectacular. What a player he was, blimey. If only.
He would have been great for us. An absolute shithouser as well. He would have suited Chelsea down to the ground, honestly. would have been a cult hero at Chelsea, I think, if we'd signed him. Another player we used to get linked with all the time was Yakin as well. From Real Betis. He only just retired as well. He was a right winger. You know, we got linked with him for so many years in a row,
and then 42 when he retired.
Yeah. I think he retired last year or the year before. So, yeah, he was another one we always got linked with and never signed. It was, there were a few players like that, back in the day. It became almost like a regular thing, like getting linked with Hulk or with Yakin. And you knew that it wasn't going to happen. Sandro was another one from Juve. We got linked with him.
Oh, Alexandro.
That was 3 years in a row we got linked with him. We never signed him. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like there's a full pod on that is a whole nearly pod, signings. Full pod.
We need to do something like that. That would be a fun thing to do.
We should script that.
Do some proper research and figure out an 11 of nearly signings at Chelsea. here's what you could have won, players who almost joined Chelsea but didn't. you know, so there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those. But yes. So Nicholas Jackson, yeah, I think we're all in agreement on Nicholas Jackson. Again, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a view on the game or on what we were talking about, please do request and we'll get you up here and we'll hear from you. In the meantime, make sure you check out the Voice Note review. That's coming up later this evening. Louis will be doing that. Always good fun, especially after a win. So I'm sure this will be about us beating Spurs everywhere we go, because that's what it should be about. And yeah, that'll be on all podcast platforms. So make sure you check that out. Always good fun. Always a good listen. So, next, I wanted to talk about, and this is something that's kind of been a conversation over the international break. Excuse my voice. And that's the stadium. It's a kind of hot topic. It kind of came up a lot over the international break. A lot of conversations about it, a lot of speculation about it, and the possibilities that basically... The two possibilities are rebuilding on the current site, and apparently there is a design, 63,000 plus design, which has already been seen by the CPO and the Chelsea Supporters Trust. And the other option is relocating to Earls Court and building a new stadium there, which could also host NFL concerts, other sporting events, you know, to bring in money, bring in revenue for Chelsea. Yeah, that's the two options. So, like, I think, like, it's not, I don't think it's more, but I don't think the conversation I want to have isn't really about, do we want to stay in the current stadium? More about those two options, what would you think would be the best for Chelsea Football Club? Given, you know, I think I'm going to try and take a balanced point of view, because, like, there's good and bad things for both. The good thing about staying at Stamford Bridge, is you stay on Stamford Bridge site, and that's where Chelsea have always played. And that's a really positive thing. The negative of that is that you would have to move away for about 3 years while they rebuilt it, and play at, you know, Fulham or Wembley or whatever, which wouldn't be great. But then you get to move back to a brand new stadium at Stamford Bridge, and you'd still be playing at Stamford Bridge, and it would be a purpose-built football stadium for Chelsea Football Club, men and women, to play in. And that would be really great. And then, of course, there's the Earls Court thing, which is, you know, the benefits of that is you get a much bigger stadium, you get much more revenue. It's still in the same area of London. It's still basically the same journey, same pub, and of course, all the kind of stuff that comes with that. And also, you don't need to move out of Stamford Bridge. You can keep playing at Stamford Bridge until it's done, and which means you don't have to move. Basically, you don't have to move away from home, really, at all during that process. But obviously, the big bad thing about Earls Court is that it's not Stamford Bridge, right? And we've always played at Stamford Bridge, and a lot of fans don't want to leave Stamford Bridge, and they're entitled to that view. So, what I want to know is, What of those two would you rather, and why? And I'm going to start with Louis.
I would not be adverse to a move to Earls Court if the Chelsea Pip China's deal carried across. That would be my only sticking point. And when the problem we've got is when people hear about the CPO, the one thing which really disappoints me when people discuss it is they seem to think it's like some sort of cartel, where we've got a stranglehold on Chelsea and how it's run, and we're stopping us from moving away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of that is true, of course. Very much not the case with the CPO. And in fact, anybody who believes that should probably do some reading, because you can join the CPO and vote. For me, I think what we have in place at Chelsea protects the culture of the club, protects what's outlined and set up how we could be, you know, handling ourselves in certain situations. And historically, it's very important. It's been said it's outdated, et cetera, but I do think it's something which puts us in a better hold than a lot of other clubs, because we actually own the rights to Chelsea Football Club. We own all that stuff is the reason why when newcomers being set up, it's because they don't own Chelsea Football Club. That's why Blue Co exists. they don't own Chelsea Football Club. You know, they don't own, like, if they were to leave Stamford Bridge, and very much the case of when you look at what was going on with the Super League, it's Chelsea fans were, well, the PPL are basically going to say, if you do that, you don't own the rights to Chelsea. And then the club, which we would know as Sheffield Club, would not be playing at Chelsea. And it'd be like London City Blues or something like that. So I think it's always worth doing a bit of reading. I wouldn't be adverse to the move. I think it is important to grow, despite everything I've said, where it might sound incredibly outdated to some people. But on the other hand, I understand why people are so keen to stay at Stamford Bridge. For me, I'm not fussed. I like where we are. I don't think it's as important as other bits right now. It's important, but I think there's things to deal with first. And then people will say that I'm one of the people holding us back because, you know, again, this is not to make the whole argument about Matt Dunn and non-Matt Dunn fan. But I think if you haven't been to Stamford Bridge, you need to, I don't think you understand how important that those rituals are and how important that relationship is and that year and all those things. So this isn't just a financial thing. This is a very emotive thing. And I think that's something that needs to be considered.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I definitely, that's a very, very smart comment, Louis. And I agree with you. There's a lot of misunderstanding around the Chelsea pitch owners and their perspectives and their role and things. And, you know, you just need to go and do a bit of history on Chelsea Football Club to find out. You know, Chelsea pitch owners was basically created by Ken Bates to ensure that developers could not build on the Stamford Bridge pitch. And Chelsea pitch owners owns the pitch, and they own the name Chelsea Football Club. The owners cannot use it without the permission of Chelsea pitch owners. And you're right, you know, if they tried to move to another stadium and didn't get permission of pitch owners, they couldn't use the name Chelsea or any associated name like CFC, you know, Chelsea, anything like that. They can't use any of that without the pitch owners. And that protects the club, and it has protected the club, and it kept the club going. Without it, Chelsea wouldn't exist. So, yeah, you're right. Well said, Louis. And Rambles, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I personally think we do need to move to Earls Court. I think it was Jason Cundy on TalkSport last week said maximum capacity Stamford Bridge could go to is 50,000. I don't know whether that's 100% accurate.
I think, but, yeah, there are plans, and only a pound has said this, that there's a design for a 63,000-seater stadium at Stamford Bridge, which is a football stadium. And apparently the CPO and the supporters club have both seen these designs. They're not public, but they've been seen. So, and of course, we just bought the Stoll land as well, which will give us a bit of extra land to build on. So I think it would be, we'd probably get a 60,000 seat stadium if we stayed at Stamford Bridge. If we moved, it would probably be bigger than that. It would probably be up to 70,000, potentially 65,000-70,000. Although I know fans that want more than that. So, but yeah, no, Rambles, continue. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think moving is probably the best option, because I think we will get that big stadium we need, and we do longer term to compete with our rivals. We do need to have a stadium which can ideally match them in capacity, even beat them in capacity. Because even now with Everton's new stadium, they're going to have a bigger stadium than us. And I feel that's one thing that is holding us back a little bit. And it may not be the most important factor right now with what's going on in the pitch, but longer term, it is something we need to sort out, and pretty quickly, to help us move forward and progress.
Yes, I agree. I think, my perspective, I've been a fan since 1987 or so, you know, so a long time. And I went to, my first game was at the old Stamford Bridge. When I had to go up, I climbed up all those big steps, if people remember, you've seen the photos, to get into the shed. I was blown away by it. You know, I was 10 years old. And so, you know, I've been a fan a long time. And I want to see Chelsea as a successful on the pitch and successful off the pitch. and I want us to stay true to our roots as well and our identity as a club. And all those things are really, really important. And, you know, I think like Chelsea increasing their revenue so that we're financially self-sustaining is a good thing for me. But as long as it doesn't come at the cost of on-pitch success, I think they go hand in hand personally. And I always have felt that. And I think going to World's Court, I'm definitely open to that if it's done in the right way and it's done in a respectful way, which honours the traditions of the club. And with the CPO fully on board and behind it and maybe even actively helping with it and maybe having an impact on the design to make sure that it reflects Chelsea Football Club. And I think that would be a really positive thing if we can do it. I'm open to staying at Stamford Bridge if we can get that like 65,000 seat stadium as well. I'm not like closed off to either of those options. The important thing is that we have a bigger stadium so we can get more fans in. We can increase our matchday revenue and, you know, we can become more self-sustainable as a club. I think the Earls Court thing has a benefit of we can get revenue from it being a venue for an NFL team and concerts and all that kind of thing. And there's more like off-pitch stuff that you can do as a fan on the day, which obviously helps Chelsea succeed off the pitch and means you can spend more money on the pitch and buy better players, which means we can be more successful. And I would just love to have a bigger stadium. I want to have a bigger stadium than Spurs as well. I'm a bit embarrassed that Spurs have got a bigger stadium than us right now. And they haven't won anything for, you know, I can't even remember, 17 years or something like that. And, you know, we've been better than them for parades. Even when we were crap, we were better than Spurs. And I want to have a bigger stadium than them because they're a bigger club than them. And we're the only London club who's won the Champions League. So we should have a stadium that reflects that. Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I'd love to get people's views. I've got some requests, so I'm going to bring up Dano first and get his views on this. Just bringing him up now because I think this is quite an interesting subject that a lot of people have different views on, and it's important to hear every part of the fan base. So, Dano, welcome, and just remember to be respectful and everything, and respect other people's views, but. What are your views on this?
I'm sorry, I honestly the stadium chat, I didn't even really have a strong opinion in it. Again, I'm from Canada, so unfortunately I've never had the chance to even visit Stamford Bridge. But I guess from the outside looking in, you know, of course, at Chelsea, as I would say, one of the most successful teams in London. Or not London, but yeah, in London, of course, but even in England, right? Yeah, you want to compete in terms of revenue and things like that by having a great stadium. But yeah, I can also understand the fans who go day in and day out to Stamford Bridge and the history behind it and things like that. So I'm kind of indifferent about it, but I just wanted to chat about the match, to be honest.
Oh, cool. Yeah, okay. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, the match in general. Again, nice London derby to have late match game. But I would say from the first half, I was very confident. Chelsea had some good possession. And you could tell that it wasn't pointless possession, right? Because we've had lots of games where we've dominated possession, but it's been a lot of pointless possession. And I could say from the beginning, Trev Chalaba, he bossed that game, to be honest. He was a big reason why we were looking a much more direct, things like that. So Trev had a great game. One thing about Nicholas Jackson, you know, there's been kind of some, some thoughts on him. People were saying he doesn't deserve to get praised today. People were saying he was terrible. For me, one thing I'll say about Nicholas Jackson today is I don't think he either had a great game or a bad game. But one thing you can say is that you could tell Nicholas Jackson was in the game, right? In my opinion, you know, if I'm going to compare the two, Jackson and Nkunku, right? If both of them have no GA in the game, you can at least, you could at least feel Nicholas Jackson's no GA compared to Nkunku not having GA. Nkunku not having GA, he is absolutely invisible in the game. And when I mean invisible, you do not even notice when he has a ball or anything. But when Nicholas Jackson has no GA, at least he's providing a focal point to the midfielders, to the center backs. At least he's running in behind. We know that Tottenham, they, for some stupid reason, they love to play a high line. Like, I really don't understand. And Ange has a lot to hold on his chest this season. But for some reason, they love to play that high line. And I'm telling you right now, if we had Nkunku, I don't think Nkunku is making those runs in behind, to be honest. So, you know, I think, again, neither terrible great game from Nicholas Jackson, but my goodness, our midfield was amazing today. Mr. Moises Caicedo, he is every penny worth spent, and I will say it with my whole chest, he is the best center defensive mid in the Prem, and I will say top five in the world right now. This guy is something special. Enzo Fernandez, I love the passion, amazing goal. And even Cole Palmer, you know, still a little bit quiet, but I'm happy that he got involved with that assist. So yeah, to be honest, a good game, great game, to be honest. The only issue right now is we have a very, very tough schedule. Very, very tough schedule. And unfortunately, Man City has a quite easier schedule. So we just need to stay consistent, play our game. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, thank you, Dano. Really good stuff. And yeah, we were talking about Enzo Fernandez earlier and how great he was today, and obviously got the winning goal. I think, it looks like he's starting to connect with fans as well. I've just shared a video of him like clapping along with the fans, singing that kind of Spurs song. You know, we bat Spurs everywhere we go. He's really getting into it, and he's starting to play. And I think he really wants Champions League, and he wants to stay at Chelsea, it looks like, for me. Like, and there's been talk of him leaving, but I don't think he wants to leave. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. Really good to have you up. It's always good to have new people up, and really appreciate that. Like Rambles, what are your thoughts on what he said?
Yeah, I think you made a very interesting point about Nicholas Jackson compared to Nkunku, you know, with goals and assists, it always feels like he is in the game, whereas Nkunku just doesn't feel like he's ever in the game. It feels like he's a bystander. And that's something we've really been missing the last few weeks, months.
Yeah, I think, I'm disappointed in Nkunku. I still think he's a really talented footballer, but it's just not happened for him, you know. Chelsea, really. I mean, last season when he came in the last few games, he was pretty good. And then the first half of the season, he was scoring goals at least, you know, in the Conference League. But like, he's not performed at anything like the level that I thought that he would be performing. And yeah, you can't just make the excuse that Palmer's in his position. You know, he's a good enough player than to not have to play in one position to play well. And he's not. And you can see he doesn't want to be here. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be starting in Nkunku, really, in the last few games. Maybe in the Conference League, because, you know, we should go through the next round of the Conference League, and we shouldn't need our first choice team to do that, he says.
That's the thing with Fishgrave, yeah. That I watch him play, and I'm like, where's the personal pride? Sure, you know, it doesn't look like he's picking 100%. It doesn't look like he's interested. And I know you can say he's unlucky, you know, he's not playing in his favourite position, but surely there should be an element inside, you know, I want to go out there, you know, give 110%. I want to show what I can do, you know, even if it's just to look good for a potential move. I just can't understand players who just stroll around the pitch not looking bothered or interested.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I think, you know, even if you're losing, you know, just make an effort, run hard, work hard, press, try and win the ball back, fight for the team. If you do that, you know, you still get respect, even if you're losing. Nkunku just hasn't done that, and yeah, like, he doesn't start for Chelsea at the moment for sure. Definitely not. But yeah, so that's a good point. Thanks Dano for that. So please do come up. We would love to have more of you up. So yeah, do make sure you come up, and Also, yeah, like, do make sure you check out like the match review. This that I've already mentioned the match review. This will be available as a podcast tomorrow as well on all podcast platforms. The Chelsea Echo just produced some great podcast content, so get on where that app wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure you sign up for those podcasts. Yeah, so we're coming to the end, but it's been a good day. And Chelsea have won. We're fourth in the league. And going into another game at the weekend against Brentford, which will not be easy. And I just saw a stat that Moises Caicedo is one yellow away from a 2-game suspension. He needs to get through the next two games, I think, without getting a yellow card. So to avoid a suspension. So hopefully, he won't get booked in the next couple of games. I'll probably rest him against Ipswich, to be honest. Or bring him off early, certainly, because we don't want him to get suspended. But yeah, tough games ahead. Rambles, just your thoughts on today and going into the weekend.
I'm absolutely buzzing now. I don't, there's something about beating Spurs which just feels kind of extra special. It's just one of those games where everyone just like everyone just seems more up for it. The players are more up for it. The fans kind of unite and they're louder than in other games. It's just one of those games where you all just seem to raise our game for. And it's such a nice feeling. And I've got a lot of Spurs friends and family, a lot of Spurs family. So it's even sweeter beating Spurs. That's the one game I always love winning the most.
Yeah, I think everyone loves beating Spurs, don't we? It's just even though we do it all the time, it never gets old, like I said earlier. Yeah, and what are your thoughts about Sunday against Brentford?
I'm actually feeling a lot more confident. I think, you know, the clean sheet, you know, having players back will just prove a massive boost. And hopefully the injuries to Fofana and Lavia aren't too serious. Maybe one or both could be in the match day squad on Sunday. It's probably asking too much, but hopefully they can be available.
We can only hope, can't we? We can only hope. Yeah, 100%. So, Louis, your final thoughts on today? And also looking forward to Sunday. Louis? Are you there? Okay, while we're waiting for Louis, I'm just going to point you to another video I've just shared in the space. It's Nicholas Jackson after the game. And he's clapping and then he flips off the Spurs fans. And I think that's brilliant. absolutely brilliant.
I think he's got something about him, Jackson. I just like his kind of energy. He's got this infectious personality.
He has. He's probably like he's really invested in being at Chelsea. You know, like he's got the kind of banter going, the shithousery a little bit, and I love that. that's really good. That's in the Jumbotron. So make sure you check that out. Louis, are you there? No, he's not there. We can't get his thoughts on the game on Sunday. Well, I will share my thoughts. I'm really pleased with today. I'm glad we got a win against Spurs and get us back in that top four, another clean sheet. I think that's 5 wins at home in a row now as well, which is really good. Keep the momentum going. And hopefully we can go and get a win at Brentford. I think we can get that win. I think we just need to, you know, perform. Having Jackson back, and he'll be a bit sharper on Sunday as well, will be positive. Having Palmer as well, he's back and looks to be back in form. So having those two back, maybe Nonny will start as well. I think, yeah, we've got a good chance on Sunday. And, I feel quite positive about it. But I'll give one last chance to Louis. And if not, we'll end it there. Louis. No, he's not there, is he? Something's wrong there. But, all right. Well, it's been great having Louis here and Rambles. Great to have you. And also the people who've come up and shared as well. I really appreciate that. This is your show. We want it to be your show. So we want you to be coming up and sharing your views on Chelsea. We want this to be a place where you can come and talk about the club that you love. So, we'll be back on Sunday after the Brentford game. I think Lou will be hosting that. if his microphone works. But in the meantime, make sure you check this podcast out on all your podcast platforms. It'll be available from tomorrow morning. Make sure you check out the voice note review. That again is on all podcast platforms. Lou will be doing that if his microphone works. Follow the Chelsea Echo. Give us all the follow as well. We do follow back. 100%. Thank you for all for listening, and up the Chelsea.